Well, greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Highways and Byways for the first quarter of 2011. This is your host and highway minister, Wyatt Timmons. For the next 75 minutes or so, we'll be attempting to bring you something we like to call Church Out of the Box. Now, if this is the first Highways and Byways you've ever come across, you might say, what's Church Out of the Box? You know, it's a fair question. Well, let me try to say it in a non-offensive way. I'll probably ruffle some holier-than-thou feathers, but if simply explaining what we're not offends some folks, well, they're generally the type of folks who are looking for something to be offended at anyways. Church out of the box. Well, it's the good news that God loves you without insisting that we all read and speak in the King's English in order for it to be the true word of God. It's excellent music that points towards the creator of the universe without insisting that it only come from a hymn book in order to be godly music. Church out of the box. It's about daring to look at the Bible and actually believe that it's not there to condemn us and make us feel bad about ourselves. It's actually about giving us hope and encouraging all of us as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. There. I even managed to get an actual King James quotation in there. Maybe they'll think there's still hope for me. Church out of the box. It's about looking at subjects through the eyes of God's wisdom. It's about saying no topic is off limits to the one who created everything. And church out of the box is about you and me, friend. It's about taking something as simple as a road sign that we see every day as we travel down the highways and byways and finding a spiritual lesson in it. It's about finding out why evolution falls short of reality when compared to science viewed from God's perspective. It's about getting us in touch with the God who loves us so very much that he not only provided a way for you and I to go to heaven when our spirit leaves the body, he's also provided an owner's manual to help us get there. It's called the Bible, and as an acronym, that B-I-B-L-E stands for the following words, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I didn't make that one up, but it's the greatest acronym I've ever heard, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. But you know what? If you go ahead and dare to listen for a while, you'll find out exactly what Church Out of the Box is like from our viewpoint here at House of Prayer Ministries. Chances are pretty good that if you're not too stuffy and self-sanctified, you might even want to receive Highways and Byways every quarter when a new one's released. And I'll tell you how that happens later on, but here's the best part right up front. We charge nothing. We freely give Highways and Byways out to anybody who wants it. Well, all right, that's an introduction if I ever heard one, and with that out of the way, we can go ahead and dive into this quarter's release. Now, what we're going to do is recap the four quarters of 2010, sort of a best of Highways and Byways for 2010, and we'll have a little update commentary placed in between from time to time. And by the way, to our growing list of internet podcast listeners, I really want to hear from you on the voicemail line. You've now surpassed the number of folks who receive Highways and Byways from the mailing list. They have it sent out to their homes each quarter. The only thing you could surpass now would be the overall number of CDs that are sent out to truck stops and distributed in innovative locations by our director of distribution out there in Ohio. Thanks, Storyteller. We've been putting this out for several years on CD with the toll-free number printed on the CD label. That's easy enough to see, but I need to remember to give it out verbally a few times for our podcast listeners. That number is 1-800-421-3148. That's 1-800-421-3148. I'll put it out several times as we go along. Welcome once again to Highways and Byways, my friend. I am so delighted that a copy has found its way into your hands or that you've downloaded it from the internet.
Dr. Shami, I have some questions for you.
Yes, my son, bare your soul. Open your mind that I might enlighten you with my wisdom.
Yeah. Well, I was reading in the Bible.
You what?
I was reading the Bible.
Don't do that. You need inner wisdom, like myself, to decipher it. It's just too complicated.
Well, actually, I found its message quite simple.
No, you just read the simple part. It takes years to understand the Bible. Here, read my book.
Programming Your VCR?
No, The Other Side.
Knowing God the Shammy Way?
That's Shammy. And what I say there is truth.
Now, wait a minute. Why should I believe you? Have you ever healed a blind, walked on water, or raised the dead?
You think I'm God? Of course not.
Well, Jesus did. He performed incredible miracles that no one in history has ever done. We have reason to trust him.
I knew it. I knew this would happen. Already, you're confused.
I don't feel confused.
Of course not. You haven't read my book yet.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
Devil, I wouldn't wear red, I wouldn't have horns or a pitchfork, and I wouldn't breathe fire cause it might give me away. If I were the devil, you'd never know, I'd befriend you quick and then corrupt you slow, so you don't notice till it's far too late. If I were the devil, if I were the devil, spend all day lowering standards of what's okay to think, to say, to watch on your TV. And I break down the value of promises kept and fade out truth till there's nothing left. So gossip and lies are popping up as thick as weeds. If I were the devil, if I were the devil,
from the voicemail archives, the third quarter of 2010 brought us a question concerning just how long is a generation by the Bible's definition. Now, that all depends upon the context of the passage, of course, and in this case, the question was referenced upon the words of Jesus from Matthew 24 concerning signs and events that would precede his return. And I thought it was a pretty good entry to put into the best of the 2010 recap here, because it puts our focus back where it belongs. While this world keeps falling apart and becoming more and more unstable, the birth pains period that come before Christ's return are in full swing. I continue to hear folks who don't even believe in God state that something is coming. They feel or sense it, and for them, it never comes out as though what they're expecting is a good thing. So let's hear what this caller's question was and see how I responded at that time.
Yes, this is Ralph, and I have a Bible question. The Bible says, "This generation shall not pass away." What do they mean by that? Thank you very much.
You know, the way a person might answer this question is often tied to their personal view of eschatology, the study of timeline of end time events. But we're not going to go there. I think the best shot at providing a good answer here is to avoid arguments that surround pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-tribulation theology. Regardless of what your view of the timeline is, the fact remains that Jesus is coming back and we need to be ready. There's an awful lot of disagreement concerning how long a generation is and whose interpretation we're going to believe. Could a generation simply mean 40 years, as some contest? Could it mean something longer or shorter based upon our understanding of what a generation was in other biblical references? Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure that discussions surrounding just what a generation is with regard to exact years is actually the primary thing to consider either. You see, the word generation can mean a race of people, or it can refer to an entire nation, such as Israel, which would make perfect sense. Satan has been inciting people to destroy the Jewish people for a long, long time, and evil men from many parts of the world have been the devil's hapless servants in this attempt to exterminate an entire race of people. Jesus was and is certainly aware of this. It can also be that Jesus was speaking of the entire advent of the Christian dispensation or age with regard to this word generation, because the word can also mean age, as in Stone Age, Adamic Age, Abrahamic Age, Dark Age. You get the picture here? He could simply have been saying, "This current dispensation shall not pass." I personally lean away from any interpretation of Matthew 24 that sets a specific timeline that can be calculated to a science. Just look at the failed attempts to mathematically prophesy about the end of the world or the return of Jesus. The Russellites, or Jehovah's Witnesses, are one of the biggest failures, with repeated announcements over the years of a set date that Jesus was returning. Not to mention a host of misguided gurus of the sci-fi variety. What's a generation in this passage? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a formula for knowing the day and the hour. We have the balance of Jesus' teachings to assure us of this much.
If you want to avoid being drafted into the military, just walk around barefoot, wearing nothing but cutoffs. Because, hey, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Don't ever get VCR and CPR confused, because if someone's having a heart attack, the last thing they need is you handing them an appliance. They say owning a pet lowers your blood pressure, and are they ever right? I couldn't be happier with my vampire bat. You think the letter Y ever gets made fun of by the other vowels? Scientists tell us that if you took the average person's intestines and laid them out end to end, man, would that hurt. Okay, I know better now. But if your fiancé ever asks you, "Would you ever leave me?" do not say, "Who wants to know?" I wonder if the same people who like to burn flags also make it a point to salute firewood. Everyone's looking out for number one. Unless they're walking through a cow pasture, then everyone looks out for number two.
Stupid stuff! God gives it to us as a gift. I'm saying the stuff my dad used to say. I'm looking at him going, you think I'm stupid? He's 10. Of course he thinks I'm stupid. At 10, I thought my parents were stupid. They got real dumb as I got into teenager, and then I started hitting about 30 years old, and I started to realize how smart they were. It's weird how it goes in the cycle. My dad used to have this saying, horrible, horrible saying. He used to say this. If you remember this, you let me know. He used to say, boy, looks like they got beat with the ugly stick. Have you ever heard that one? Oh, okay, good, good. My wife said, I've never heard that. You're making that up. I said, no, I am not. Right? The ugly stick. I never believed that the ugly stick existed. I thought it was just a figment of his imagination, a saying. Until the other day, I went to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning. Whoever has that stick had just been there. I am glad that I came late. Do you know what I'm talking about? What is it about Walmart after midnight that, you know, everybody who owns fully automatic weapons but lives in the trunk of their car comes out? Stupid stuff. It's all over. We got to learn to laugh driving in here today. I saw this sign crack me up. Loose cattle. I couldn't help but think, hey there, big bull. Moo. I'm sorry, that was wrong. You gotta have fun. God wants you to enjoy the ride. I think it was that great theologian James Taylor who once said, the secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. We need to learn to enjoy the ride. Jesus taught us to travel light. That's how he put it. Travel light. Folks, we need to learn to enjoy the ride. Here's something you can do. This is great. I was talking to some of our teenagers that helped us out, checking in today, and some of the guys around the back. You guys have access to a computer, right? You can do this, okay? Go to a computer. And I want to tell you something about making fun signs. You can make crazy signs. Nobody will believe them. If you laminate the signs that you make, the signs become law. Okay, right? There's something about lamination. You could, like, if you're a school teacher, any school teachers in the room, you know what I'm talking about. You could put a sign that says school will be closed Friday. Nobody pay any attention to it. You laminate it, teachers will not show up. Okay, buses will not run. It's one of my favorite signs. Make this on your computer. It says, "We are experiencing audio trouble. Please speak as loud as possible into the microphone." Laminate it. Put a loop of duct tape on the back of that puppy so it would stick to anything, you know, Jell-O, whatever. Get in your car, go down to the Taco Bell drive-thru. Don't get ahead of me, people. Drive up, place your order, but before you drive around, just stick this right on that little microphone thing. Now, can you imagine this for the rest of the day, everybody who pulls up? Welcome to Taco Bell. May I take your order, please? Yeah, I'll have a... Oh, you're experiencing audio trouble. Please speak as loud as possible into the mic. Welcome to Taco Bell. May I take your order, please? Yeah, I want a chalupa! Burrito! They wear headphones in there. Have you seen those? To folks, I've got a bumper sticker that I've invented, and they're in the back. You'll see them back there, but it's just my way of sharing the gospel with people. It says, caution, in case of rapture, this car will swerve as my mother-in-law takes the wheel. And I think that it just... Thank you. This is my new one. I don't have it out yet, but it'll be out in about 2 weeks. It says, dyslexic if you're honk. I was at a Christian retreat center. Wisconsin Dells. Are you from Wisconsin Dells? Chicago. It's nowhere near it, but thank you. You're from Chicago. Shout out for sausage. All right. I'm from Chicago too, my friend. Now I've forgotten what I was talking about. Thank you. You have to remember I have ADD, okay? Well, actually, there's ADD, there's ADHD. I have ADLBD, which is Attention Deficit Lazy Butt Disorder. I was ripped off, though. I grew up 3 years before the invention of Ritalin. I grew up under an experimental medication called the Belt. But it was good medicine. You did not have to wait 4 hours to give me another dose. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I didn't grow up with that. My dad had a board about that long, about that tall, about that thick. We didn't have timeout. We had knockout. You know what I'm talking about? That's always bring me back into focus. Except that I can't remember what I was talking about. Does anybody remember where I was? Oh, Wisconsin Dells, thank you. Yeah, shut up over there. Christian Retreat Center. Now, for those of you who don't know what a Christian Retreat Center is a hotel that was purchased by a church. But a church cannot own a hotel. Okay, it's just, I don't know, maybe tax thing, I don't know. So they always call them Christian Retreat Centers, where Christians can go and retreat. Because they charge so often. In an effort to keep modesty alive at the Christian Retreat Center, let me say I support modesty. I'm pro-modesty, okay? I believe in modesty, okay? I'm Baptist. I don't even believe in nudity among married couples, okay? I'm just keeping it real. Shut up. In their effort to promote modesty, as you leave the swimming pool area, you can come through one door, turn to the right, it takes you to the rooms, but if you come through the left door, it takes you right into the cafe. Greeting you as you walk into the cafe area, they have this sign right here. It says, please remove all swimsuits, tank tops, and hot pants before entering the dining room. You know, I know what we're going for here. But I'm just not sure this sign is how we want to say it, you know. And secondly, when was the last time you heard the phrase, hot pants? Look, I weigh 294 pounds. All my pants are hot pants.
Behold, I'm standing at your door. Reach up to remote your old Sylvania. Sit back and act like nothing ever stranger. But I keep knocking, and you keep ignoring me. And I wonder if you're ever gonna answer. Or when your life, your wife is riddled now with cancer. But I'm not a traveling salesman. No, I'm not the Kirby man. I'm not here to fix your cable. And I don't work for Uncle Sam. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon missionary. I'm not here to ask if you're able. Could you help me please? I came because my father sent me. I came because you need me. And I'm still waiting patiently. Well, many times I've knocked on your door. As a child, a wild teenager, a young sailor. But you weren't listening. Time is fleeting. You've lived your life according to your own will. And it's been a life of heartbreak, mistakes, and constant ills. But I'm not a traveling salesman. No, I'm not the Kirby man. I'm not raffling off tickets. And I don't work for Uncle Sam. I'm not a J.
Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon missionary. I'm not offering quick fixes or home remedies. I came because my father sent me. I came because you need me. And there's no sense of wish that I cannot forgive. No son who cannot look to me and live. No brokenness that I cannot heal. No emptiness that I cannot feel. No, I'm not a traveling salesman. No, I'm not the Kirby man. I'm not here to sell you Avon and don't work for Uncle Sam. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon missionary. I'm not here to pray upon your sense of charity. I came because my father sent me. I came because you need me. Behold, I'm standing at your door, and I am not.
I recently engaged in dialogue with a young man who claims to be an atheist and embraces the idea that we evolved from tiny little organisms. When I asked him how morality came into existence, he said, "We developed our morality over millions of years, that we evolved into this sense of right and wrong." When I asked him how the idea of an evolving morality could work in light of the Darwinian claim that we're here as a result of something commonly referred to as survival of the fittest, there was a question mark on his face as he said, "What does morality have to do with evolution?" I explained to him that teachings of evolution of the species has at its heart the teaching that the stronger gene pools essentially overpower the weaker ones, and in this theory of theirs, the result is that the weak die off and the strong survive at the expense of the weaker ones, a sort of dog-eat-dog world. Now, this was new information to his thought process, but it was especially sad to see that the new information did not matter. He was spouting off things that his biology professor was teaching him and other things that he had gleaned from atheist writings, and as far as he was concerned, he had arrived at all truth concerning a non-existent God and his creation, as opposed to the idea that we evolved. But using their own stated theory of survival of the fittest as evidence that no morality would ever develop in a dog-eat-dog mode of life only caused this young man to jump off of that particular train of thought with other objections to the existence of God or the reality of the Bible. What this young man is learning from college professors is that God does not exist. And it's one of the most difficult tasks that we as Christians face when dealing with this current generation. They have come to a place where they believe that they are truly enlightened and that we, as Christians, are the ones who are in the dark. Well, it seemed fitting to me that Ken Ham's segment from the first quarter 2010 was the segment we should run again on this recap edition of Highways and Byways. Here's Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis.
School violence. It's a matter of who owns us.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the speakers at July's National Apologetics Conference in Branson, Missouri. Well, Ken, sounds interesting today. Who does own us, and what does this have to do with the recent problem of school violence in America and even overseas?
Well, let me put it to you this way. If the God of the Bible is our creator, then that means God owns each one of us. And because he owns us, he has a right to tell us how we should live. We're accountable to our creator. Therefore, we must obey God's laws. You know, through most of the public education system today, students are being taught that they're a product of chance processes. They're just evolved animals. Now, if we're just animals and there's no creator, then who owns us? Actually, this would mean we own ourselves. We'd therefore be accountable to no one but ourselves. This would also mean that there are no absolutes and that we have a right to decide how we want to live if we can get away with it. Think about it. When Johnny is taught at school that he's a result of evolution and there's no creator, then when Johnny decides to harm his fellow students, one could say he's learned his lessons all too well. I'm sure most people will be surprised when I say that believing in millions of years for the Earth's age has a connection to school violence. But you know what really does? When someone believes in millions of years, then they've no option but to accept that the fossil record is millions of years old. Now, the fossil record is a record of death, violence, bloodshed, disease, suffering. It's a horrible record. And think about it. When children are taught in school that these fossil deposits all around the Earth are the record of the history of the evolution of life over millions of years, then students are in essence being told that violence, bloodshed, disease, death, and suffering are a normal part of the process of evolution. And if this is so, should we then be surprised if more and more students apply this belief consistently in their lives? If the violence of the fossil record is a necessary part of life on this planet, then why shouldn't people use violence any time they want? That was one of the motivations behind the school killings in Finland late last year. Our students need to be taught that death and violence are intrusions because of sin.
Well, surely leaders in our church, Ken, those who say they believe God's word, should have the solution to school violence.
Well, that's true, but sadly, the majority of church leaders today don't believe that Genesis is literal history. Now, this topic does relate to violence on campus. You see, if Christians believe that we must accept that the fossil record was laid down over millions of years before man existed, then what does this mean? These church leaders have to accept a record of death, disease, violence, and suffering before Adam. And after Adam was created, God described this as very good. Now, it doesn't make sense. Imagine a church leader talking to a student and saying something like, "Billy, you can't commit violent acts against your fellow students. You need to love people as God loves." And the student replies, "Pastor, do you believe in millions of years?" "Yes," the pastor replies. And Billy continues, "So you believe in millions of years of death, violence, disease, and killing before Adam, and God said that that was very good? Then, Pastor, I'm loving as God loves. Your God is a God of hate and violence." Church leaders will only have the answer if they believe in a literal Genesis, a perfect world before sin.
Ken Ham shares much more about why death and suffering could not have occurred before Adam's sin in his free booklet. It's available on our website of AnswersRadio.com. That's our listener-supported site of AnswersRadio.com.
I gave some additional thought on how to recap the End Time Update segment for 2010, and I realized that it really wouldn't be an update if it had already been brought to you as an update. I'm searching for a break in my schedule, which will allow me to post another End Time Update special. I would appreciate your prayers in helping me find that time. There is so much taking place in so many different arenas at present, and they all add up to some very sobering realities. What I finally settled on for our End Time Update was to lay out our very basic outline of items that I hope to go into in detail in that special. Even in a mini headline format, these items should send a shiver up your spine as we continue to be nudged and corralled into more and more control and surveillance. Let's start with this one, speaking of surveillance. The Miami-Dade Police Department recently finalized a deal to buy a drone, which is an unmanned plane that's equipped with cameras. One terrorism expert who was interviewed said, "This has unlimited capabilities." And that, my friends, takes the words right out of my mouth. No matter what spin they put on it, this is no different than the cameras that most every city now has installed to keep surveillance over the activities of private citizens. It's just easier to do with a drone flying overhead. And then there's the Department of Homeland Security. Secretary Janet Napolitano announced the expansion of the department's national If You See Something, Say Something campaign to hundreds of Walmart stores across the country. Secretary Janet Napolitano said, I applaud Walmart for joining the If You See Something, Say Something campaign. This partnership will help millions of shoppers across the nation identify and report indicators of terrorism, crime, and other threats to law enforcement authorities. Well, I feel safer already. Well, all I can say about this one is this. Hey, Janet, here's a flash update just for you fine folks over at Homeland Security. Walmart shoppers are not the enemy. They're not the threat to our security here at home. Are we to understand that, along with United States veterans, Bible-believing Christians, and anybody opposed to big government control, Walmart shoppers are the next people added to the list of potential terroristic threats to Homeland Security? Let's move on to California for a minute. And leave it to California to start tagging humans with RFID tags. Officials are outfitting preschoolers in a Contra Costa County area with tracking devices that they say will save the staff time and money. When the children are at school, they'll wear a jersey that has a small radio frequency tag on it. The tag will send signals to sensors that help track the children's whereabouts, their attendance, and even whether they've eaten or not. And let's not forget the new FCC's rules on internet. The government couldn't get this one done through the courts, so they used the Federal Communications Commission to start regulating the internet. Hey, folks, are you starting to feel the heat? Everywhere you and I turn, government is crowding in for just a little more control over every aspect of your life. Consider Governor Chafee from the state of Rhode Island. You know, the state with the motto, Live Free or Die? Well, Governor Chafee is suggesting that there should be a talk radio ban. He thinks that this is the reason people do bad things. Yo, Governor, we're talking about a constitutional right here, the right to free speech, you know? By the way, people don't do bad things because of people exercising their right to free speech. They do bad things because we all have a sinful nature, and some folks give into it in very bad ways. What I might suggest is that you start working on a new state motto. Maybe something like, live free as long as you don't talk. Friends, I could continue with several more areas of governmental controls and attempts to regulate our God-given freedoms. I didn't even start on what the United Nations is doing to increase control on a worldwide basis. But the few items that I've encapsulated should suffice to make a person think and pay more attention to what's going on all around us. As I point out often, the main reason for paying attention to these matters is not to generate fear. God is in control, sure enough. But these things are all converging at breakneck speed these days as we hurl towards a day when both all, great and small, are given a choice of who they will serve, God or mammon. We'll go a bit deeper into these and other items when the next special edition of End Times Update is released.
Mississippi's rolling north to south, flowing down to the mouth where the Gulf waters rise so high when the hurricane blows by. Preacher man is saying there's gonna come a flood. All the sin
gonna help me in. I feel it rising from
For our voicemail segment, we go all the way back to the first quarter of 2010 as we continue our best of recap. You know, a lot can change in a short period of time. And then some things never seem to change. Like the fact that in this segment I had mentioned our faithful dog, Brick. And I'm sad to tell you that we had to put him down much before his time, as they say. On the other hand, our question came from Storyteller, who never seems to change. Always looking at God's Word and asking the questions that nobody else seems to think of. We have a question from the voicemail line to deal with. But once again, Storyteller has brought some attention to a situation that, frankly, I've never heard anybody else bring up. He asked, well, forget the setup. Let's just listen to the question straight from his lips, because it just doesn't get any better than that.
Hey, in Acts chapter 22, right after Paul is talking about seeing Stephen getting killed, and go, the Lord said to me, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Well, the people listened to Paul until he said this, but then they started shouting at the top of their voices, away with him, kill him, he's not fit to live. Then in verse 23, they were screaming and waving their clothes and throwing dust in the air. Hello, how crazy is that? What are they throwing dirt in the air for?
I said that I've never heard anyone bring any attention to this before, and I've always sort of glazed over it when I read this passage from Acts 22 myself, because I know the basic reason, and I just never gave any thought to expounding upon it. But let's see what we can do with this one. You know, there's an account from the Old Testament to compare with this New Testament occurrence. From 2 Samuel 16, we have King David in a struggle to retain his throne and kingdom, with Absalom, one of his own sons, fighting against him for the kingdom. David and his warriors are riding along, and a fellow by the name of Shimei begins to throw stones from a parallel ridge. He speaks out curses and throws dust up in the air. He knows that he can do nothing to actually come against King David, but he can throw some dirt in the air. This seems a trivial thing, but it carries a clear message. This was, and remains today, an expression of incredible hatred and anger, mixed with a certain vexation and frustration. usually because there's nothing greater that they can do to express themselves, and they're frustrated because, if they had their way about it, the people throwing the dirt up in the air would tear the person from limb to limb, if they had the chance. This is exactly the circumstance we see in Acts 22. These folks were so infuriated with Paul because they could not accept the idea that God would tell Paul to take the gospel to the unclean and unworthy Gentiles. The other problem was that the good news Paul was claiming he was sent to proclaim included the fact that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. They're extra frustrated because they know that they can do nothing else at this point because Paul is in the custody of Roman soldiers. So they shout and rent their clothes at his blasphemous claims and, of course, throw dust up in the air. And that's about the long and short of it all in this matter. Or is it? You know, this throwing dirt up in the air does seem like such a primitive exercise. I mean, we Americans would never act in such a barbaric or Neanderthal manner. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about slamming doors as we leave out from an argument that has exasperated us. I'm thinking about children stomping their foot on the floor because they don't like the way something has gone and they've absolutely no recourse other than to act out in a violent attack against the floor because it's the only thing they can do. I'm thinking about raising our voices to fever pitch in an argument and saying things that will hurt and cut others. And I'm thinking about laying on the horn for like 15 or 20 seconds straight when somebody cuts somebody else off out on the highway. Kicking the trash can or kicking the dog. Throwing something against the wall in frustration or just letting out a curse word or two or three. You beginning to see what I'm seeing? While we might point out the foolishness of a culture who throws dirt up in the air to express their frustrations and anger, we must appear to be equally immature and foolish when we do so many of the commonly American acts that I've been listing here. Oh, I don't really believe for a moment that they are exclusive to our own American culture, but we sure have a wide variety of ways to express our own anger, hatred, and frustrations, don't we then? We know in the end that such behavior is not going to please our God, and yet we find ourselves allowing others to take us to this level. Now, I'm speaking in general here. I know that not everybody curses. Not everybody throws things when they get angry. I realize that not everybody kicks the dog. I know I don't, because Brick just might feel I've crossed the line if I did that. For our new listeners, Brick is Gail's trusty pit bull. And my advice to everybody is, don't kick a pit bull. But no matter what level of reaction we take, if there is malice in our hearts during that action, we are in sin territory. Even if you simply direct a thought in malice towards that person, if you imagine them to have an accident or worse, everybody crosses this line from time to time, or has, in one way or another, aggressively or more reservedly. We all fall short at times. So how do I get out of this discourse at this point? Where do we go to find some balance between expressing our frustrations and avoiding the malice and curse-type wishes upon others when we don't like the way things have gone and we feel that we have no other recourse? Well, how about this passage from Ephesians 4:26? There we read, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So let me turn the tables on all of you this time around and let me ask you a question. How do you get rid of the frustrations and anger? Have you found a way to do it and sin not? Well, I'll tell you what. If all else fails, go ahead and throw some dirt up in the air. The sin is not in the throwing. The sin is in the thoughts of your heart at that moment. Jesus was pretty angry when he drove the buyers and sellers out of the temple. And we know that he lived a totally sinless life, so it's possible to be angry and sin not. I like that. Be angry and sin not. And whatever you do, don't don't kick the dog. To the last track, I said that a lot can change in a short period of time, and then some things never seem to change. My heart's desire to see highways and byways reach out to as many folks as possible remains unchanged. If anything, the desire is greater than ever. But the ways that we get this production out has changed. These days, there are a growing number of people who simply download it off of the internet through iTunes, or they go to mypodcast.com, download it that way. You can go to those links by going to www.highwaymag.com. That's highwaymag.com. It'll take you to the archive sections for Highways and Byways. Or you can follow the link on the front of this CD. That would be www.prayerhouses.com. Now, we're in our seventh year of Highways and Byways. And originally, we had one truck stop in Milton, Pennsylvania to distribute the CDs. It was a Petro truck stop back then, but even that has changed. These days, I get mixed reports from drivers concerning whether or not Highways and Byways is still being given out at some of the other truck stop locations. And I'm not out on the road at present to confirm things like I used to be. I'm driving dump truck locally. And there were different delivery spots where I encountered Christians who showed an interest in being involved with distribution. None of those really worked out in the long run. Folks often have a zeal to do ministry until they realize that real ministry means real commitment. After a while, I wondered if it was just a flash in the pan, so to speak. Even wondered if I had really heard correctly from the Lord to stop the radio program and go to a CD production and distribution. Then along came a few drivers that contacted me through the voicemail line. I have been blessed to connect with some folks that have really become dear friends and co-laborers with me in this ministry. They support me in prayer and counsel and financially, and they've taken Highways and Byways and made it personal. They've passed them on to others who have in turn contacted the voicemail line and told me as much, always saying that it was a blessing to receive and listen to, as well as a blessing to come into contact with others who believe on the Lord Jesus. Other drivers have contacted us, asking to have Highways and Byways sent to them in large numbers so that they could redistribute them. And it's hard to tell just by talking to a person on the phone for a few minutes where their real level of commitment is. One brother in the Lord from out in Ohio has become so connected to this outreach that he's now in charge of distribution. I'm talking about Storyteller, of course. We've been considering together how to increase Highways and Byways distribution in a way that we could be certain that it's really getting into people's hands that may not be willing to listen to somebody preaching another dry sermon or stumbling along with an almost in-tune guitar as they sing in an almost in-tune voice with the latest song that God has blessed them with. Well, God bless them for wanting to be a blessing unto others. I pass no judgment there. God knows our hearts, and that's all that matters. Anyway, back on track. What's the point of this rambling? Here's what we've come up with. Storyteller's phone number appears on the front of this CD. It's the one for distribution information. If you have a heart to evangelize, if you're already doing it, or if you've been looking for a way to be more involved in a ministry while you're out on the highways and byways yourself, here's what you can do. You call that distribution number and get hold of Storyteller. Let him know that you want to make a commitment to give out Highways and Byways as you travel around and actually engage people a little with dialogue. Now, I'm not talking about getting into in-depth discussions about the book of Revelation or getting weighed down in heavy end times theology. I'm talking about enough conversation to figure out if a driver will listen to your Highways and Byways CD if you give it to him. You'd be surprised to see how many drivers will be honest enough to tell you right off the bat if they're going to give a listen to it or not. You just look them in the eyes and ask. Anyway, you give Storyteller a call. If you can convince him that your heart is into using highways and byways as a witnessing tool, he'll set you up with some CDs to give away. We never charge for them. We don't ask for money. And this part drives Storyteller nuts because he raises money for highways and byways by putting on an Opry once a month with live music in a couple of locations out there in Ohio. And he figures that I ought to be making a little stronger request for support. Anyways, talk to him about the Opry when you have that conversation with him. If you're ever in his neck of the woods on a Saturday night, he'll help you figure out how to get there. There's even one truck stop out that way that'll give you a ride. Now, there's other reasons to call us. The toll-free number's on the front of the CD. It's 1-800-421-3148 for all of our iTunes or mypodcast.com listeners. That's 1-800-421-3148. Call that voicemail line. Share a short version of your testimony. Call it to ask a biblical, spiritual, or God-type question. No question's too hard for the Lord to answer. We'll do our best to respond in next quarter's release with what we see the Word of God saying concerning your question. You can call that 800 number to simply ask for prayer for yourself or your loved ones. Heck, we'll even pray for your enemies. And maybe, just maybe, this is going to make Storyteller happy. Maybe you'll just want to call in to find out how you can get involved supporting highways and byways on a regular basis. Don't make that call for that reason unless you believe that the Lord wants you to be financially connected with us. If He directs you to support highways and byways, that's reason enough. Either way, we're going to keep working, producing, and distributing highways and byways to get it out to as many folks as we're able to. If you hear a call from the Lord to get involved with distribution, then make that call to Storyteller and let's get started.
Excuse me.
Oh, yes, can I help you?
I saw your sign out front, and my wife's birthday is coming up in a few weeks, and I thought maybe she'd like something, religious.
Well, I'm very sorry, sir. You see, we don't sell religious items here. We sell religions.
Oh, yeah? Well, how do you do that?
Well, we have... Excuse me, one moment. Yes, sir? I'm here to see about starting my own religion. Fine, fine. Was there anything specific you had in mind?
No, not really. Just don't want no hell, that's all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting so a guy like me can't even fall asleep in church without hearing a lake of fire this and fire and damnation that, you know. I want a church a guy like me can be comfortable in.
Yes, I see. Well, I'm certain we can do away with hell. Was there anything else you wanted?
No, not really. Anything I should want?
Well, let's see, how about heaven? Did you have any stipulations about entrance?
Any what?
Stipulations, rules, how do you decide who gets into heaven? Do you want everyone to go or what?
Let's see. No. There's definitely some people I don't want in heaven. Well, how do you keep them out?
Well, you make a rule that keeps them out. Personally, I prefer a rule that says one must earn his salvation by working for the church. You know, painting the sanctuary, gardening, going door to door with church literature. This also provides you with free labor.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Go ahead and write it in.
All right, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. I ain't got no church to paint or garden to weed. What do I do?
Why don't you send your followers door-to-door with these?
Watchtower, huh? Not much of a name, is it?
Well, I admit so. They're not much to look at. But if you send your followers door-to-door asking money for them, it won't take long for your church to develop quite a reputation.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, now, what do we do with those people who do not make it into heaven?
We send Oh, wait a minute. We did away with that, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Well, I don't know. What do you do with them?
Might I suggest annihilation?
Annihilate?
Annihilation. It's quick, simple, painless. It's really the best way.
Well, whatever you say.
All right. Now, what do you plan to call your church?
Oh, was hoping to call it Bill and Fran's Church of Fun. Fran's my wife's name.
Yes. Well, sir, if I might be so blunt, do you really need a flashier name than that? Mm-hmm. I mean, Bill and Fran's Church of Fun would be fine if you were opening a restaurant, but it's hardly a religious title, don't you agree?
Yeah, I guess you're right. What do you suggest?
Well, how about the New Christ Church, or the Jesus Workers?
No, I want to keep Jesus and Christ out of this as much as I can.
Yes, excellent idea when one makes up his own religion. How about the Jehovah Witnesses?
The Jehovah Witnesses? Yeah, okay, I like it. Got a lot of clout.
Yes, fine. Now, just sign here and we'll bill you later.
Okay.
Sir, the red pen, please. It is customary.
All right, swell. Boy, this is great. Wait till I tell Fran. She'll die.
Yes, she will.
Now, I'm sorry for keeping you waiting. Was there anything I could help you with?
Well, I'll be. You really do sell religions here. Holy moly.
Precisely.
Is business any good?
I should say so, and it gets better all the time. All the time!
It's amazing what people will believe.
Yes, isn't it, though? You know, I've been in this business a long time, and I always get a kick out of these people.
I bet you hear a lot of different ideas, huh?
No, not really. Well, most of them think they're onto something new and different. Well, occasionally you see a new twist, but basically old Solomon was right. There's really nothing new under the sun. Oh, excuse me, just one moment. Yes?
Howdy. You the dude giving out with the religions?
Yes, I am.
Good. I want a religion that worships cows and horses.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but that's already been taken.
That's what?
It's been taken. Gentlemen, this morning, the Hindus believe that all animals are sacred, sir.
Well, I'll be a skunk's armpit. I come all this way with my heart set on a religion that worships cows and horses, and you tell me some varmints beat me to it. What am I gonna do? I mean, what are you gonna do?
Well, You could start a reformed Hindu movement?
Come again?
Reformed, it's kind of your own brand of Hinduism. You might like it, you know. They don't believe that sinning is always bad.
I like that.
Yes.
So where'd I put my mark?
Oh, we have a place for you right here, sir. We'll bill you later on this.
Kind of thick ink, ain't it?
Yes, thicker than water, you might say.
You ain't seen the water I drink.
Well, these are your official church documents. Just read them over and fill in the blanks.
Well, I don't know how to read.
Wonderful. Perhaps someone could read them to you, sir.
Well...
Sir, do you like bedtime stories, fairy tales?
Yeah.
Oh, these are quite a bit like that. I'm sure you'll enjoy them.
Okay, thank you kindly, partner. Look out, tombstone, here I come!
That is just amazing.
What is?
I mean, how you just make that stuff up like that?
I beg your pardon, I don't make anything up. Why, I'm like any other salesman. I merely ask the customer what he wants, and then I give it to him.
Well, I've been around a long time, and I've never seen anything like this. Is this all legal?
But of course it is. My good man, it's everyone's constitutional right to worship anything. Any way that he chooses.
But what about God?
Who?
God.
Oh, yes, him. Well, God is really a relative term. You understand? It means different things to different people.
Amen.
And could you shut the door, please?
Door. Yeah.
Excuse me one moment. Yes, were you looking for something?
Yeah, is this the place you come to get your own religion?
Yes, it is. What is it you were interested in?
Who, me? Well, I'm kind of into a space bag, you know. Stars, cosmos, planets, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you want to start a religion based on these things?
Wow, could I? Far out.
Well, I'm sure something can be arranged. Now, did you want something in just space, or something broader? Say, science fiction in general.
Oh, yeah, I'm really into science fiction. Might say I'm kind of a sci-fi high man. You know, the other night I had a close encounter of the fourth kind. I thought I was a UFO. I was flying around the room, ricketing. Shane off the walls. You had to be there.
Yes, well, I could see where that might make your evening. Well, we do offer a special mystic package, which includes UFOs, ESP, the stars, numerology, and a lifetime subscription to the National Enquirer.
For that's it. That's what God is all about.
By the way, do you have a name for your church?
Oh, yeah, man. Dig this. My friend Clem and I thought of this one. How about the Knights in White Satin? Can you dig it? Can you get that feel? The Knights in White Satin?
Yes, so can about a million others. You see, that was the name of a hit 45 some years back.
Oh, bummer, man.
Yes, I can see where that might bring you down.
You're cool.
Might I suggest the Unitarian Church?
That's copacetic. Okay, go for
fine,
it.
Fine. Sign here. We'll bill you later on this.
Far out. Red ink, kind of like my eyes. Hey, man.
Yeah?
I'm kind of a Unitarian bag. Want to buy some flowers, send a dope fiend to camp?
Well, all I have is this 20 for my wife's
birthday.
Hey,
that's cool.
Hey, you crook. Hey, come back here. Hey, that guy took my last 20 and he didn't even leave me any flowers. Hey, call the cops.
Oh, why? It's part of his religion. Look right here. It's under fundraising. It's all in black and white. Read it for yourself.
Look, I don't like this place and I don't think I like you either. What? Now, if stealing money is part of his religion and you helped him with it, then you should pay me back my $20.
Now, hold on a minute. Just 1 minute. I merely sell religion. You saw for yourself. I fill in the documents, file the forms. Once someone signs on the dotted line, he's on his own. I don't guarantee these things.
No guarantee?
Of course not.
So do you think I'd have sold a religion to Mary Baker Eddy if I had to guarantee it? Poor woman was falling apart. No, no, my boy. Besides, everyone in this business knows there's only one guaranteed religion, and that one's free. Well, fortunately, none of my customers know about it.
You must mean Christianity.
Please don't say that here.
Christianity? Well, what's wrong with Christianity?
Sir, control yourself. You're going to ruin a perfectly good sales area. Let me give you a little pointer, strictly off the record. Christianity and the products that I sell, they don't mix. It's like oil and water, black and white, light and darkness. Christianity is much too simple. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, and the only thing to read is the Bible. Now, how could that confuse anyone?
Who wants to confuse anyone?
I do! I do! Young man, haven't you been watching? Haven't you been paying attention? For thousands of years, I've been trying to clutter men's minds with false doctrines, earning their salvation, worshipping idols, anything to keep them buried in confusion, to keep them from seeing the light.
The light?
Oh, say, it's perfectly obvious you're ignorant in these matters. I haven't time to stand here and dilly-dally with you. We're going out of business soon. Here's my card. If you should ever need anything in the spiritual realm, don't hesitate to look me up. In fact, next week we're having a sale.
What kind of sale?
It's, a fire sale.
Well, there's not enough time to play back any previous road sign segment. That's where we take a common road sign and make a spiritual analogy our connection to it. So what I thought we could do was play the theme song in its entirety. You never get to hear anything but the chorus with some of the sound effects that I've dubbed in as it's used for the intro bumper for the segment. So here's Mark Allen with Down Every Road.
Sometimes I think of all the hardship that the Lord has brought me through. I remember not so many days I didn't know what I was gonna do. Now He's brought my life together and I'm waiting for the winds of change to blow. Don't let me get so settled in. When you call me, I don't want to go. Down every road, there's a turn and it's a place for us to choose. Just remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through. There is nothing new under the sun. That burned in me because sometimes I get to thinking I'm the only one. Lord, don't ever let me get down to the place I think I'll do it on my own. Take away my pride in anything that could ever turn my heart to stone. Down every road, there's a turn and it's a place for us to choose. Just remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through. Just remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through.
as always, I enjoy putting this together and getting it out to all of you. At this point, it's certainly a labor of love. I'm blessed to be able to be at home, at least for now, working local. I'm blessed to be pastoring St. Peter's Church, a small country church here in Sullivan County. And neither Gail or I have lost our desire and vision to see people come to know the Lord in a real and personal way in our day-to-day encounters with the world. Many of our segments are designed to get the message of real hope and vibrant life-changing power that can be found through getting to know Jesus Christ out in ways that may not be considered traditional evangelism by many. But we must all attempt to march to the drumbeat that we hear from the Holy Spirit, and in the end, others will know us by the fruit that we bear. I just wanted to take these last few minutes and ask you to do something for me, for Gail. We try not to ask too much or place any burdens upon any of you who come across a Highways and Byways CD or even download it from the internet. But here it is. Time has become our greatest challenge in continuing to produce not just Highways and Byways, but all House of Prayer Ministry audio productions, the teaching series, the end times updates, and now even the Sunday morning messages from St. Peter's Church, which, Lord willing, will be available for free download before too long as I work on the church website and get it up and running. So there's that too, maintaining the websites for House of Prayer Ministries, Highways and Byways, and the church. What I'm asking for is sincere prayer for time and energy and wisdom. I haven't arrived yet, and I make mistakes, and I run right up against the realities of space and time. I know how valuable time is at this stage of my life, so I know what I'm asking when I say, please pray for Gail and myself as we continue to run the race, as we continue to fight the good fight. If you will storm the gates of heaven with prayers for our continued health, increased wisdom, and for a manifestation of all the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, we'll feel it, we'll sense it, and we'll press on with joy. More than ever before, it would be an encouragement to hear you call the voicemail line. It's 1-800-421-3148. I'll give it again just at the end here. For all the normal reasons, we want you to call in, of course, the Bible questions, topical suggestions, prayer requests of your own, but also to hear folks committing to lift us up before the throne of God. Pray for us, and we'll continue to do all that we can do to be a blessing for all of you. It's 1-800-421-3148. Now may God bless all that you set your heart and your hands to do, and especially those things that you set your heart and hands to do for others.
Whisper in a breeze, carry me when I seem